Welcome to Fairfax. Whether you guys are here in person, and it's good to see most of your faces, or you are watching online, thank you for being and spending the morning with us, starting your week out in worship. We're glad you're here. I know that this is a crazy week for some people. Maybe you're traveling, maybe you're not. Maybe family's coming in, maybe they're not. But today is going to be a perfect sermon topic for what we're about to have happen this week. Today, we're talking about self-control. So if you have your Bibles, your Bible app, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We are wrapping up our Fruit of the Spirit series that we've been in. And I hope that you've been deepened and challenged as we've tried to talk about these various aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Hopefully that it's cultivated your walk a little bit and that you've seen more of the Spirit's outpouring in your life. It's a challenge. Next week, we're going to begin. We've hit the season where we start talking about Christmas. And for us, we've spent the last few years talking about Advent. And I know most of you didn't grow up in that world where you celebrated Advent. But Advent for Christians really is a much better way of looking at things than Christmas, because Christmas is for happy people. Advent is for everybody. Advent is a season of hope and joy and peace and love and celebrating that Christ came and looking forward to that Christ will come again. And I don't know about you, but right now in the world we live in, that's something I need a lot more of, is a little more hope. So I hope you'll join us. We're going to call it Christmas in a bubble, celebrating Christmas in a pandemic, because for you, and probably for, I know that for me, it's going to be a different Christmas than I've ever experienced. So Galatians chapter 5, we're finishing Fruit of the Spirit, and we're talking about, like I said, self-control. So here is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." About a year ago, went to a grocery shopping ordeal that Mary and I, you know, it's the normal family routine, and we have four kids. So we usually buy in bulk if we can, because they eat a lot of food, shockingly. And we bought gummies because they like gummy snacks, right? The fruit gummies. And we didn't buy like the pack of 10 because that's gone in like a minute. So we bought the big pack, the 50 pack box, because we thought this is going to be exactly what we need. Brought it home, and within 2 days, 50 packages were gone. Like, what happened? Of course, nobody knows. Like, I didn't, wasn't me, Dad, wasn't me. A couple of days pass. And I'm in one of my kids' rooms, and I'm sitting down by his bed, and it was a mess because he's a boy. And I don't know, I grabbed something to pick it up and put it in his table near his bed. Well, I opened the top drawer. It was filled with toys and books and paraphernalia that, you know, he's like, these are special things. So I closed that up because it's not going to fit in there. And when I opened the bottom drawer, there were nothing but gummy packages. Like, there were 40-ish gummy packages in there in 2 days. And I just looked at him. I said, "What? What's this about?" "I don't know." And of course, I was like, "You know." And then he goes, "I'm sorry, Dad. I just can't help it. You know I can't say no to gummies. We have to ration them when we buy them and almost put them in a safe so that he can't get them. And we just give them when it," and I didn't say his name, Liam. Now look, we look at the fruit of the Spirit, and while it's last in the list, self-control certainly isn't the least important. In fact, I would say that it's last, because self-control comes as a result of our growing in love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Self-control comes through that. See, all the fruit tend to work together. When we are loving, we are more joyful. When we have love and joy, we have peace. When we have love and joy and peace, kindness tends to come right along there. You see how it works? They all are interconnected. In fact, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, that word fruit is singular. It's not plural. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Whereas it's not individual fruit that you need to work on. It is, this is the fruit that the Spirit gives, and it has these aspects. And so when we've, each week as we've unpacked them, I hope that you've seen that they've connected to each other, but also there's a natural shift of where they are pointed towards. So love is something that we do. He begins with that quality which directs our thoughts and our actions outwards towards other people. And now we're at self-control, which is directing our thoughts and our actions inward and how we respond to things. We talked about that last week with gentleness. It's about controlling my strength. And it's the same thing with self-control. It's controlling my own ambitions, my own powers, and all the things that I want, my desires, for the benefit of others. It all keeps going there. So the Greek word that we translate as self-control is, as all good Greek words, it's a combination word. It's a word in kratos. All right, there you go. That's your Greek dictionary word for the day. And here's what that means. In means in. E-N means in, like I-N, right? I'm in like, I don't know, whatever that movie was. In, and the word kratos means dominion or rule or power. Now you're going, okay, that's really cool. In power, in rule. Here's how that comes into play in our normal wording that we use today. The word kratic is where we get the, it comes from the word kratos. Democratic, rule of the people. Theocratic, rule of God. Autocratic, rule of self. See how that works? So the question that we have to ask ourselves, and we start talking about this word in kratos, this Greek word, self-control, is who rules our lives? And we make hundreds of decisions this week. To turkey or not to turkey? A slice of pumpkin pie or a slice of, and if you're from the South, sweet potato pie, which is so much better. The truth hurts, but the truth will set you free. You know, or do I go and get more turkey? Amen. Don't say no to turkey. You know, but there's also all these other questions. If you haven't done your grocery shopping yet for the week and you're going to go to the stores, it's going to be a little chaotic. And so you have a lot of decisions you have to make. Do I do the self-checkout or do I stand in line with the 50,000 other people who are trying to open and go to this one register? We have all these questions. And then how do I respond to those people? How do I interact when people are a little pushy? We have all of these emotions and these decisions that we're going to deal with throughout this week. And we have to decide what are we going to do and why we make that decision. See, here's how I like to define this fruit of self-control. It is to surrender my will to the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit and to allow God to rule and to have power and control over my emotions and my desires to bring about his kingdom. Now, that's a really long definition. There'll be a test at the end of service. The reason that we need the Spirit's help is simply because it is too difficult for us to exercise self-control over this fallen, sinful nature that's within us. It's these self-centered desires. I mentioned this last week, the kingdom of me, and I love me some me, that always seems to get the better of us. Sin has a power of its own, and it operates against our best intentions, and it quickly, quickly gets out of control, and it carries us along with it. It's the words of Paul that say, I do the things I don't want to do. And the things I do, I don't do. One is controlled. And what Paul is doing here in Galatians, and we haven't gelled a whole lot with the letter and the context of the book, but what he's, the context of the letter, what he is doing here is he's talking to these people in this church in Galatia, and he's saying, look, why are you throwing yourself back into a system of slavery? You were freed. He says that there's two contrasting ways of living. One is living according to the works of the flesh. One is about your sinful nature, and the other is controlled by the Spirit. And Paul knew that the power of sin and flesh was indeed powerful, but the only power sufficient to keep it under control was the Holy Spirit. He deals with this just before he talks about the fruit. If you have your Bibles, look at chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Right at the beginning of this section, most of your Bibles will section it off there. But he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." So what was happening in Galatia is they were trying to wrestle with the sin nature in their own strength by obeying the law, gritting their teeth and trying harder. But it is a losing battle. Many of us in this room, and maybe you online, we know this battle very well. We can't win it alone. But for some reason, we just keep trying and trying, and we keep losing and losing. It's the battle that says I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. It's the battle that says I can master this. It is the battle that says that I am in control of the driver's seat. God is just simply my navigator. And Paul reminds us that the part of the work of the Holy Spirit within us is the way that he enables us to keep the sinful desires and impulses that still lurk within us under control. That self-control involves effort of our will, but it's an effort inspired and empowered by the Spirit of God as he bears fruit in our will to bend it towards his. When I was a kid, my parents always planted a large vegetable garden. It was always something that was going to happen in the spring. We loved it as kids because, after garden season was over, you could ride your bikes there and get some good bounces, you know. But I remember it so vividly. My dad would get this old tiller, and he would till up the soil. And then he and my mom would hoe the rows up and get them up all set and ready to plant. And we'd plant seeds in there, and we would get to be a part of that and water them. And it was always exciting when you started seeing those little green sprouts come out of the ground. Anybody who's done a garden, you know this. And it was fun for me and my brother. We were little, and they would grow snap beans, and they'd have, you know, wooden bamboo stalks that they would just let them grow up on. And the vines would grow, and you'd go and pick them. Snapping them was not nearly as much fun as pulling them, but it was still fun. One of the jobs that sometimes we were given as kids was to go and pull the weeds. Because here's the deal with weeds. Weeds grow just as fast as the plants, sometimes faster, because you're watering them when you water your plants. You're fertilizing them when you fertilize your plants. And pretty soon, what you found out, pulling weeds was no fun, but it's necessary. Because if not, the weeds will suck the nutrients from the plants. They'll keep the vegetables from growing. It won't produce anything. And sometimes it'll even choke the roots of that plant and kill them. I think often that we are so excited to talk about the fruit that we want to grow. And it's not uncommon to go to churches for years, and you'll hear about growing the fruit of the Spirit more and more. About being a more loving and a more patient person. A more joyful person. But what gets skipped over sometimes in the spiritual growth is the weed pulling. It's the repentance. It's the confession. We don't like to talk about that so much, and so we tend to skip over it. And we just get to, let's just grow fruit. Grow fruit. The fruit doesn't grow, and we wonder why. I'm going to church. I'm studying my Bible. But we wonder, why is the fruit not growing? And maybe it's because there are weeds in our life that we haven't pulled out that are choking us. And they have to be pulled first. So here's the question for you, and this is something that I really wrestle with. And it's not rhetorical. It's not something that I'm not really looking for an answer for. I'm not looking for a verbal answer, but it's something you have to work out in your own heart, in your own mind. What are the weeds of the sinful nature in your life that need to be uprooted so the Spirit can grow? Think about it. What are the weeds of the sinful nature that need to be uprooted so the Spirit can grow his fruit in your life? Last week, we looked back at the other list that Paul gives, the works of the flesh. Works, it's plural, right? It's plural. Fruit is singular. Works of the flesh. These are the acts of the sinful nature, your translation may say. It's the opposite of what the Spirit does in growing the fruit of the Spirit. As we are pulling out the weeds of this acts of the sinful nature, the Spirit grows those fruit. Many of the behaviors that he lists, they show human nature at its worst and its most excessive. Look at this list, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So maybe you look at that list and you go, well, I don't have the weed of sexual immorality in my garden. Great. But in your garden, are you in control of your temper? Paul includes fits of rage. We talked about this last week. What about your appetite? It's Thanksgiving week. Put on your stretchy pants. Is that under control? We can all enjoy food and that God provides us as a blessing to be received with thanksgiving, but drunkenness and gluttony are among the sins the Bible condemns because it's in excess. Are you in control of your attitude towards others? When others do well and they get what you would like for yourself, do you wrestle with envy and jealousy and selfish ambition? Are you in control of your time as much as you have available? Or are you wasting a lot of it in laziness or lack of self-discipline? When we say, I'm sorry, I'm just too busy, that's not true. We say that. It's not true. You make time for what is important to you all the time. I'm binge watching Netflix today. I just don't have time. Yeah, you do. Are you in control of what is perhaps the hardest of all of these things to exercise and self-control? Your tongue. Paul doesn't list that specifically here, although I think we could tie that into dissensions and rivalries and divisions. But he would certainly have agreed with James that the tongue can do more damage than we need to control it severely. The tendency that I have and you have as individuals, as human beings, we all have this, is to see the weeds in someone else's life and be able to pick those out really easily, but I struggle to see the weeds in my own. It's that whole idea of looking at someone else with their speck in their eye, and Jesus said, but you have a plank in your own. Because it's so much easier for me to see what you need to pull in your life rather than acknowledging what I need to pull in my own. So how do we cultivate this fruit of self-control? Right after he lists the fruit of the spirits, Paul says this, and it says, we looked at this last week, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Whether you're pulling the weeds of the sinful nature or you're growing this fruit of self-control, it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that. But if you're trying on your own power to pull these weeds and to exhibit self-control, you'll feel disappointment, disillusionment, and pretty soon you're going to feel burned out. Anyone ever experienced that? I'm trying to do this under my own power. I'm trying so hard to break this addiction, whatever that is. I'm trying so hard to break these thoughts and this anger that I have towards someone. And I'm trying to do it all on my own and I fail. And I'm going to try it again. And pretty soon I go, it's hopeless because I'm trying to do it all under my own power. But you walk and keep in step with the Spirit. It's this picture of taking a long walk with another person. And every stride is the same. You've done this before? When I was a kid, I would do this walk with my parents. And I tried to make sure that I was doing the same steps they did. And sometimes they were bigger than me, and their steps, their stride was a little more than mine, and I would have to autocorrect. But if that's the idea, it's keeping in step with the Spirit. It's a continual attention to the step that I'm taking. Right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. So here's how that helps us. Here's how keeping in step with the Spirit impacts self-control. And the reason that I talked about pulling the weeds is because self-control, that list that Paul gives, right before this seems to be the opposite of self-control. Self-control goes to these desires of the flesh. Here's what self-control helps us do. It helps create self-awareness. More often than not, when we fall prey to one of the weeds of the sinful nature, we have this tendency to blame others. Who ate all the gummies? I don't know. It must have been him. That's what we do. Think about it. It's happened that way since the garden. Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit. Sin enters the world. They're immediately guilty. They hide because they realize they are naked. God comes into the garden and says, where are you? He says, we're here because we're naked. Who told you you're naked? And pretty soon the blame game starts. This woman you gave to me, she ate the fruit. Whoa, the snake gave it to me. You've heard the joke, the man blamed the woman blamed the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. I see this in my house all the time. One kid starts screaming and the other at the other over something. Why are you screaming at each other? And it escalates rather quickly. And when I ask why they started screaming, they blame the other person for something they did. Here's the deal. I can't control your emotions. Now, you can say, you can make me mad. Sure, I can irritate you, but what I can't control is your response. I can only control Robin. And I am not going to allow you to have that much power over my life that you control my emotions and I lose sleep over you being mad at me. Unless I know that I have sinned against you. I can't control your emotions and you can't control mine, but self-control that the Spirit gives helps me and you control our own because the Spirit is now in the driver's seat. And when there's not self-control with your words or your temper, your life can spiral out of control. Self-awareness comes when we learn to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. Slow. We don't do that very well in Northern Virginia. But it only happens when we get in step with the Spirit. The second thing, keeping in step with the Spirit helps me to recognize the warning signs. When Mary and I first got married, I had a Ford Explorer. That thing had over 200,000 miles on it. Ran like a charm. I mean, ish. It was a Ford. Sorry. Sammy knows. So I grew up under the hood of a car every weekend. Almost every weekday. That's what we did. That was back in the day when you could sit inside the hood of a truck, right? There was so much room and there were no airbags. Pansies. It was like, this is a truck. And I had this Ford Explorer and we got married and it was great for us. And I remember the check engine light came on. Well, look, I didn't have anything to plug in to read it. And I thought, it's probably just a sensor. Not a big deal. That happens. It's 200,000 miles. Who knows? I remember one, and it just stayed there. Every time we'd crank the car, it'd be there. Sometimes it would go off, but then we'd turn back on. And one day, put it in reverse, leaving our to go to work, and it's blinking. That got real annoying real quick. So I did what every normal person would do. I took a picture of Mary, and I put it over the blinking light. So I didn't see it anymore. She's much better looking than that blinking light. And what I didn't know was going on is that there were some major issues happening. Eventually, one day, I put that thing into reverse. I pressed the gas, and we didn't move at all. Thought, cut it off, cranked it again, tried it. Nothing. The transmission went out. See, there was that warning sign was there. The manufacturers put that in there to tell you, hey, there's a problem. And it's cheaper if you take care of the problem early than if you wait. With the transmission, it's never cheap. When the check engine light comes on, it's a call to action. And you can ignore it. You can pretend that everything is okay, but it's not to your advantage. When we keep in step with the Spirit, we recognize the blinking lights that begin to show up on the dashboard of our lives to get our attention, to help us realize that there are some areas in our life that need some help. It's an invitation to take action. In Genesis chapter 4, we read about Cain and Abel, and they bring their offerings to the Lord, and Abel brings the first fruits, but Cain just kind of brings whatever's left over. We get the impression he just went and picked it in the field and brought it to God, and God's not pleased. And he gets angry, and God says, look, if you do what's right, you're going to be accepted. And then he tells him this, gives him this warning. He says, but listen, listen. It's not too late. I know that you're feeling discouraged. I know that my response wasn't what you wanted. But you still have an opportunity here to do the right thing. If you'll do the right thing, even though you don't feel like it. But then he gives him, here's the warning. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must master it. There was a warning signal and there was anger that was a blinking light, and Cain ignored it and he let his anger take over him and he kills his brother. God always gives us warning signals. Proverbs 25:28 says this, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. When we lose self-control, we begin deceiving ourselves and others. We hide things. We delete the history of our searches on internet. We don't let our spouse read our text messages. So many things. We hide the pills. We put money in separate accounts, secret accounts. But when we keep in step with the Spirit, God will work to get our attention and to warn us so that we can learn a lesson the easier way rather than the painful and difficult way. God is more concerned with yours and my holiness than he is with us being happy. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And number three, keeping in step with the Spirit will kill you. And I meant that literally. Liz was looking at that and building the words on the screen, she said, is that a typo? I said, no, it's perfectly what I wanted to say. Keeping in step with the Spirit will kill you. It is the most crucial part of cultivating self-control. Throughout his entire ministry, Jesus' mission of reconciliation was built upon the denial of self. He would say, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me daily. Take up his cross daily. Paul joins in that same vein when he says this in verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. There was an old theologian who was asked by a young man, why do I keep having these struggles? If the old self was crucified with Christ, why do I have these evil desires? Why do I keep slipping into this old way of living? The wise theologian simply said, it's because crucifixion is a long and painful process. That's why Paul says in the scriptures, I die daily. It is this daily putting to death the sinful nature. It's what Romans 8, Paul reminds us that if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You are going to live. And when we do that, we say yes to Jesus every day. And it's less of me saying yes to Robin. And the Spirit gives you self-control that can control your life and transform it. She was a new teacher. She had just come into this little town. It was back in the days when there was a one schoolroom school, like one class, one building. She just came into town and she went into the local hotel because she didn't have a place to live yet. And she checked in and someone asked her, oh, we're so glad that you're here. We've been without a teacher for so long. Would you like to get something to eat? She says, no, I want to go to my classroom and I want to go see. So she got in the carriage and she rides out to this one room schoolhouse. The door is left open, kids in and out, probably in the summer. It was tumbleweeds everywhere. It was just a mess. There was nothing pretty about it. So she went in and there was dust, probably an inch of dust in there. And she began to clean that schoolroom out. She painted a little bit. She made everything look nice. And she thought, the inside is so clean. I want to do something about the outside. So on the outside, she planted these beautiful red rose bushes. Beautiful. They really just uplifted the whole face of the building. It was, this will make the kids feel invited to come to school and learn. First day of school comes and the kids are all outside playing and she rings her bell and they come in and they're all different ages and they sit down and she says, good morning, class. I'm so glad that you're all here. Before we begin, I have some rules that we need to go over. It's the general don't talk, raise your hand, don't throw spitballs, all of that stuff that teachers do. And then she says, you probably noticed the red roses out in the front. Those are to make our classroom and our school building look pretty. Please don't touch them. Let's let them grow. They're going to be beautiful. If you do touch them, I'm going to have to punish you. I don't want to, but I will. It'll be 3 lashes across the back of your hand with a ruler if you do. Everyone understand? They all shook their heads yes. And they went on about learning. Several months had passed, and those rose bushes were starting to look so pretty. And she was sitting in her classroom. The day was over. Kids were outside playing, and she heard the door open, and she's grading papers. And she didn't pay attention because typically they would leave their bags in there and come in and get them when they were time to go home. And she heard these footsteps approaching her desk. And they stopped right in front. She looks up, and there is sweet little Sally. Sally's a cute little blonde with blue eyes, just brighten up the room, blue eyes. And she's smiling, and the teacher smiles at her. And then what she sees breaks her heart. In her hands, little Sally has 3 beautiful big red roses. And she says, I picked these for you. Oh, Sally, didn't you remember the rule not to touch the roses? And little Sally's eyes immediately started to water up. Yes, ma'am. She says, Sally, I have to punish you, because the teacher knew that if she didn't follow through with the punishment, the big kids were going to take over the class. So she gets out her ruler and she says, Sally, I need you to put your hands here on the desk. And so Sally feebly puts her hands on the desk and tears are just rolling down her cheeks. The teacher begins to raise up the ruler and tears are coming in her own eyes. And at that very moment, Sally's older brother, with his big farm hands, rough, cut in different places, puts his hands on top of hers. And he says, teacher, if you don't mind, I'll take those for her. You can give me her punishment. The beauty of the gospel is that while you and I deserve death and we're dying because of our sinful nature, God sent his son so that we could live. Our big brother Jesus said, I will take that punishment. He was pierced for our transgression. The stripes that he bore were for me. But because he was broken, you're made whole. And because of that wholeness that he brings, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives within us when we give our lives to Jesus and we come out of that water. We are given the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the living God that raised Jesus from the dead, that it speaks in our behalf, and it also works with us if we work with him, keeping in step with the Spirit to say no to ungodliness. His divine power has given us everything we need. Jesus did that. And when we fail, brothers and sisters, he is there speaking in our behalf, speaking as an advocate and saying, these are mine. We're going to stand and we're going to sing Salvation Belongs to Our God. Sing as best as you can and sing out. But I want you to hear this, that the salvation comes through Jesus Christ. The power of self-control doesn't happen in your own might. It doesn't happen by you being strong enough or willful enough or following the law to the letter. What salvation comes through is through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to help you get self-control because you are keeping in step with him and you're dying to yourself daily. And it's not easy. And it is a challenge. That's what the Spirit does within us. Let's stand together and let me pray and then we'll sing. Holy Father, thank you for the cross of Jesus. Thank you that in your great love and your mercy, you sent him to die for us. Thank you for the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit that lives within us who speaks to you and speaks to us. Father, help us to keep in step with the Spirit. Help us to be reminded what that is so that we can pull the weeds of this sinful nature out, that we can master our lives and give that over to you for self-control. And we take a part in that, but Father, we need your strength. We need your Spirit. May you be glorified in our lives through that. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together.